for most churches, I think the problem is that a lot of teachers don't know any more than the third grade kids they're teaching. Therein is the problem. So when we come to this matter of maturity, it's not the difference is not between milk and meat is not the doctrine that you deal with, but the depth into which you can go into that doctrine. As one put it recently, those who are on milk skim the surface of a very shallow pond. That's what happens. Second thing is that maturity is related to the use of the word, not to a knowledge of the word. Maturity is related to the use of the word, not to a knowledge of the word, with this footnote. Maturity presupposes knowledge of the word, but knowledge in and of itself is not maturity. Maturity is related to the use of the word, not the knowledge of the word. Maturity presupposes knowledge of the word, but knowledge of the word in and of itself is not maturity. Third observation about maturity is this: an inability to use the word marks a person as immature. An inability to use the word, that is, the lack of skill in the utilization of the word, marks a person as immature. Because maturity at the core is related to an experiential knowledge of the word, an ability, a skill to use the word in living life. Therefore, since these folks are in this condition from verses 11 to 14, therefore, he says, leaving the elementary instructions about Christ, go to the Net Bible, therefore, we must progress beyond the elementary instructions about Christ and move on to maturity. Not laying this foundation again, repentance of dead from dead works and faith in God, teaching about baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do. What will we do? Go on to maturity if God permits. Third class condition in the Greek. And that's critical to the argument. Third class condition looks to the future with some doubt. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. In this case, God's the subject of it. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. What? Allow you to go on to maturity. Here's the principle. We'll develop it next time, but here's the principle. For a Christian to progress to maturity in the Christian life and then regress back to being a babe again, they run the risk of God confirming them in what Dr. Pentecost used to call, which I think is a good term, they run the risk of God confirming them in what he calls a state of spiritual senility. He will not allow them to go back to maturity. They forfeit their inheritance. They forfeit the blessings of God. They don't lose their salvation. They're secure in Christ. But they forfeit all the blessings and the maturity. God may not allow you to go back. Now, to me, that's the strongest warning in the Bible to believers. Hebrews chapter 6. Strongest warning in the Bible to believers. That is, you go to maturity, you regress back to being a babe again, there is no guarantee God's going to let you go back to maturity. This we will do if God permits. But I take heart in the fact that with the Hebrews, he's going to say, but brethren, I'm convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. What he's saying to them is, you're not there yet, but you better be careful. you better take warning. You better repent, change your thinking, and head back in the direction you ought to go. Back on to maturity, because you're at the place that God may confirm you where you are, and you won't be able to go back. Maybe we can do the rationale. Four, here's the rationale, the reason behind, the explanation behind the statement, and this we shall do. What? Press on to maturity. Unbelievers don't press on to maturity. Only believers press on to maturity. And this we will do if God permits. For in the case of those who have been once enlightened. Now that's the word hypox. We'll see this word come up again and again from here all the way to the end of Hebrews. Once. H-A-P-A-X. Hypox. It means once. Period. Once. We can say once for all. Once enlightened. And have tasted of the heavenly gift. Now some people come here and say, see, they only tasted. They didn't really go the whole way. They just nibbled at it. And all you got to do is go back to chapter 2, and it says that Christ tasted death for every man, or for each one. Well, did he just nibble at it, or did he really die? It's talking about reality here, who partake of it. He said, in the case of those who have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers, there's our word metakoi again, a mutual sharer, who have been partakers of what? The Holy Spirit. Unbelievers don't partake, become a mutual sharer of the Holy Spirit. Only believers. That's New Covenant theology. And have tasted the good word of God and the power of the ages to come. And then fallen away. It is impossible. Notice here he's not looking at something that's difficult. He says it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. What does repentance mean? It means change your thinking. It's impossible for us in dealing with a person in this condition to bring that person to a place where they will change their thinking about where they are so as to go back to maturity. We can't do that. What's the controlling factor? And this we will do if God permits. And he's explaining this condition here. It's impossible for us to do it. We cannot work with a person that we may believe is in this condition, and we can't get them to change their thinking unless God permits it. This we will do if God permits. Since these folks, in the context now, remember, they're going back into that old system of Judaism, offering sacrifices that have no meaning now in the New Covenant at all. It's actually like spitting in the face of the Savior, offering sacrifices now that he has been raised and glorified. Since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Now he's going to give an explanation now about the relation of the word again. He says, for the ground that drinks the rain which often falls upon it brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it is tilled. The rain, of course, in the illustration is the word of God falling on different soils and receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless, that is, it is rejected and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. That's the Bema picture, 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 15. But beloved, We're convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we're speaking this way. For God is not so unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope unto the end. In other words, don't let anything keep you from maturity and your inheritance that's at the end of the tunnel. That you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. See, that's what they're about to forfeit, their inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want you to be like them. Hang in there. Verse 13 picks up where he left off in 5:10. We're finished with the parenthesis and the next warning. So we'll quit now and pick up verse 13 next time, talking about this matter of Melchizedek and the high priestly character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Father, thanks again for our time together tonight. We pray that as we depart, we'll ponder these things that we have learned, realizing that your word is a critiquer of ourselves, the inventions of our minds, the imaginations, the thinking, and the motivation of our hearts, why we think the way we do and act the way we do and talk the way we do. What's behind that? Your word critiques that. Help us to repent, to change our thinking about ourselves when you point out things in our lives that are not right, that need work, and help us to be willing by your Spirit to make change so that we can become conformed to his image, so that you can be glorified through us. And we'll praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Be careful in the